Justice for the human family, we demand it. Justice, truth, freedom, equality's a must. Us decolonization of the planet, so bust this. People be the power, now we build the justice. Pouring ancestral divinations, how we build the justice. Welcome the planet to the podcast, build the justice. Build the justice, build the justice, build. Is to add on or do away with justice.
Welcome to Building Justice, a podcast by Sacramento State Center on Race, Immigration, and Social Justice. We explore critical issues affecting our communities with the hopes of creating a healthier and more just world. Your host for today is Maya Lam, and I'm joined here today with ASI President and ASI Vice President. If you want to go ahead and introduce yourselves.
Hello, everyone. My name is Natalie Andrade Dominguez, serving as ASI President.
Hi, everyone. My name is Veronica Bolas, and I serve as the Executive Vice President of ASI.
Thank you so much for joining me today. And then today, the main focus is just to expand students' knowledge on what ASI is and what ASI is doing currently for the critical issues that are impacting our campus. So the first issue at hand that I think is on the forefront of a lot of students' mind is the financial aid and tuition increase. So we all know that in the beginning of the semester or in summer even that the CSU trustees has voted to increase the tuition by 6% annually for the next 5 years. So to give students perspective, what has ASI student government done along with President Wood and other faculty to address the concern that students are having? Because, you know, it could deter a lot of students from continuing on with their college education. So if either you want to lead on that question, by all means.
Yeah, I can take lead. A big part of my role has been actually focusing on the tuition increase since the summer. So this proposal came to the Board of Trustees, came from the Board of Trustees back in May. And the California State Student Association, also known as CSSA, is where all the ASI presidents from all 23 campuses gather every month to discuss CSU issues. So basically any issues that would affect us CSU wide. So we've been meeting basically every month with the Chancellor's Office, with the Board of Trustees about this proposal. And as student leaders from all of our campuses, we were obviously against the tuition increase, but we're trying to give recommendations of what we wanted this proposal to be, how we wanted the money to be used, and in what ways at our campuses can we minimize the effects of the tuition increase. So we did a lot of advocacy work in terms of the original proposal. So for a little bit of context, the original proposal did not have an end date. So it wasn't going to be maxed at 5 years. It didn't have a date of when it wasn't going to end. We did advocacy work to add a tuition policy now that lives within the CSU policy. So there's a lot of restrictions now about when they can raise tuition again, how they can raise tuition, why they can raise tuition. And that was a lot of lobbying efforts that came from all the CSU's ASI student governments. And it wasn't until the September Board of Trustees meeting when it actually passed, where all the ASI presidents were at the Board of Trustees meeting. They're giving public comment against the tuition increase. Ultimately, it still passed, but a lot of our advocacy and lobby efforts were in reflection of the new tuition proposal. So there is a one-third guarantee that now one-third of the money that comes from the tuition increase will go back into financial aid for financial aid reform, for Title IX, for basic needs, for mental health. So we did see some of our advocacy reflected within the tuition proposal. Ultimately, it was still raised, which we were fully against the tuition increase. But in our perspectives, it was better to advocate in areas that we can use our voices to ensure that the student perspective is still there. And so that's what we did kind of CSU-wide and what I kind of more led during the summer. But then once on our individual campuses, once the tuition increase was announced, President Wood met with a lot of us, a lot of the board of directors the next morning that it was that news was released. We met at 7 a.m. And we talked about how can we reduce the impact of the tuition increase at Sac State. So I don't know know if all students have had the chance to see the video that came out with myself and a few other student leaders on campus about the 10-point plan to reduce the impacts of financial aid of the tuition increase. So the first one was to launch an awareness campaign focused on tuition increase, the tuition increase and financial aid resources. The second one was to establish a tiger team on reducing barriers in financial aid and scholarships. So essentially what the tiger team is has to do, it basically has a fast turnaround rate where when at the end of December, they have to have a report and what they can do to enhance financial aid and help support students who are dealing with financial aid students. Some of the things that are coming up is adding more financial aid staff. So that's currently in the process, upping our scholarship utilization rate. So helping students apply more scholarships and our state university grant program that we are reforming here at Sac State. Another of the points is to implement a Sac State led lobbying campaign at the state capitol. So essentially the thought process with that one was to utilize basically that we are in the state capitol to go to our legislators and ask them for money for student success programs. And we are going to lead hopefully a day where a bunch of us will just go out to the capitol and go lobby for that. The next one is to increase access to information on scholarships on the main website and Canvas. So this one is currently in the works where they're going to add the scholarship portal to our main MySac State page where we log in to go to Canvas or in our student center. The portal is going to be accessed through that. And they are currently also working on adding it to our Canvas page as well. So it's more visible and more central where students will know how to access the scholarship portal. The next one is establishing a basic needs center. And I'm proud to say that the basic needs center will open up next semester. It is a triple size space of what the food pantry has right now. And it'll essentially include the food pantry, CARES, which is a crisis assistance center, and a new and established clothing closet, which all the clothes that is donated will be free for students. So this center will open up next semester, and I'm really proud of the work that we've done with working with President Wood on a new basic needs center. And the last three is removing administrative barriers, increase student employment, and increase fundraising for scholarships for students impacted by the tuition increase. So I know that was a lot, but that was basically what our meeting was about, was coming up with this 10-point plan. And then we recorded a video and blasted that out to the entire campus community to ensure that students know that President Wood is working hard and together and collaboratively with ASI, with other student leaders, to ensure that the impact of the tuition increase is minimal for our Sac State students.
That is literally perfect. You touched base on a lot of topics that we were hoping to cover, especially with financial aid, because that was something that a lot of students were concerned about when they found out about the tuition increase. And then the scholarships. I like the idea of, you know, putting that onto the Sac State Student Center login, because now students know more about it. Right. And I kind of want to touch on that, because I know ASI offers their own scholarships. Other departments offer their own scholarships. But I know the application rate isn't the highest necessarily, and there's a lot of, you know, of it out there. So, which kind of ties into a different topic we wanted to cover, was student outreach. Is that we have a big campus, we got a lot of students here, and there's a lot of good stuff here. You know, the basic needs center, which is launching next summer, you said, or
next semester? Next, so in semester. The spring semester. Yes,
gotcha. And I know that a lot of students, they do need a lot they need a lot of resources to support themselves, but they don't know what the campus has to offer, because I know we have the food pantry now, and not a lot of people know about that necessarily unless they're involved with it. So one of the main concerns is that, how do we expand outreach? How do we get students to know more about scholarships, about you know, basic resources, counseling, any of that? How do we broaden that so that students know what they have access to? And then Veronica, you want to answer that one?
Yeah, sure. So this has been a question that I think every ASI board has focused on in the past, and will continue to focus on, is outreach. And I think right now we're seeing that a lot of students are going to be really overwhelmed with, like, all of the emails they're getting, overwhelmed with kind of too much communication, right? So our goal is try to make sure that we are communicating to students in a more effective way instead of just throwing a lot of information all at them at once. And so we have kind of some mechanisms within the board that we want to use. For example, we want to really utilize the fact that the directors have a direct communication with their college and a direct communication with their deans. So all of our college directors are required to meet with their deans once a month, at least once a month, per our operating rules. And so our goal is to basically utilize that a little bit more, and they have the ability to send Saxons within just their college. So we would like them to basically connect more with their deans and basically utilize that ability to send Saxons a lot more than they usually would in the past. And that way they can target their colleges specifically. And instead of just students getting a bunch of information randomly from a bunch of different departments and stuff on campus. We also want them to communicate more with their constituents, so utilize their office hours more, utilize their committee connections more, so different things like that. So we really want the directors to have more of that communication. But we also are working with a lot of higher groups on campus, so with admin, things like that, and making sure that we're within ASI and externally communicating more effectively. So for example, I serve on our Title IX implementation group on campus. So we have, after the Cozen reports came out, that basically outlined the recommendations for our Title IX and how we can fix them. We created a Title IX implementation group that will implement or work towards implementing those recommendations that were given to us by Cozen O'Connor, the group that made a report or an investigation on all of the CSU campuses. So right now our main goal was to work on a communication plan of how we can more effectively communicate to students, and especially related specifically to Title IX issues. And so in the communication plan, we outlined a lot of different forms, and one of them that we would really like to do is using Canvas a lot more effectively. So Canvas is one place that students will always visit all the time, more consistently, to access all of their classes. And that is under the jurisdiction of faculty right now, and we are hoping to work with them to see if we can get a module on there that is focused on basic needs. That way, when students need to access information that sometimes is hard to find on campus, they always know that that module will have everything related to basic needs, everything related to Title IX, things related to mental health, stuff like that, that sometimes you have to really go searching through the ASI or searching through the Sac State website to find. That way it's just right there on your Canvas like homepage. In the module, we want to like sort everything by the different types of resources. And I think sometimes there is a disconnection of communication between students and admin or students and faculty. And so we really want to make sure that faculty are aware of where these resources are and that all of like the information is updated on campus, because sometimes students feel more comfortable to go to faculty when they're experiencing any issues. And that's kind of a direct relationship that a lot of students have, is the student professor relationship. And if they go to the professor, if they go to a mentor or a staff member on campus and ask them for help, we want to make sure that that staff member or employee or faculty member knows where the proper resources are to send the student to get the help that they need, because it's already hard enough for a student to get that communication and get that help from the beginning. And we don't want them to, get sent to the wrong place or not know where to go. And then they're most likely not going to go again and get help a second time or look for it even more. So I think that's a goal, is like we really do want to make sure that the current information we have is updated, that the current employees, staff, faculty, everyone is aware of where all of the resources are on campus, and make sure that communication and that training and learning is there. But on top of that, we want to also utilize the current avenues that we have through Canvas, through the board members meeting, the board the directors meeting with their deans, and being able to send Saxons. More of that personal connection, I think, needs to be improved, because I think that's where students are able to to kind of get the help that they need better is through a personal connection of, you know, meeting with someone and you know, a warm handoff into you know, the resource that they need. So I think those are some techniques that we're really trying to focus on right now, especially with, you know, so much changing with FAFSA, so much changing with the tuition increase. We want to make sure that students are being able to get the help that they need so that they don't run into more issues than, you know, already all of the things that are going to be coming at them this upcoming year.
I think it's a really good point you made about increasing the personal connection between students and professors and faculty, because it can be hard to, you know, reach out to faculty and professors when you don't know, but then you don't feel comfortable enough to do so. And I know you touched lightly on it with the Title IX. You said it was a Title IX implementation. Can you go into a little bit more detail about that? Because I know that there has been a lot of incidents regarding sexual harassment and sexual assault, whether it be on campus or whether it be in the dorms. And it is an issue for a lot of students, especially those who live in the dorms or those who attend like evening classes, or they happen to be alone. Most of the nights are here. So how do we, or as student leaders or as faculty, you know, anybody with the presence and authority to do so, how do we make sure that students' need for safety and concerns for safety are being addressed, and how do we move forward to implement the measures, the tools, the training to make sure that people feel safe to attend Sac State?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So this group basically is in charge with, right now, our main goal is to come up with the communication aspect of it. So we were tasked with, you know, having an updated website where students can access, and just giving a plan of communication to the president of how we plan to communicate, you know, our process and how what we're doing within the committee, but also how we plan to have the campus communicate with the students, all the resources, all the help, the changes to Title IX, things like that. So that was our main goal right now, is working on a communication plan. And then once we have that, we want to kind of work towards looking at the recommendations that were given to us by COSIN, and basically how can we implement those on campus. And our goal is to come up with the ways and the kind of the avenues for us to implement them, and then you know, work with the president's office to see what is feasible, what can we do, how can we fix those. And there are some action items that are more simple, like quick fixes. But there also are going to be things that are going to take, you know, more time to actually implement on campus. So we are looking at a lot of different things and kind of going, even digging deeper into the structure of our university and how everything is structured on campus, and even starting from kind of the basics and the, you know, the baseline, you know, bare bones of it. And then we want to kind of build upon that and have a more detailed, organized layout of what we would like to see in the future regarding Title IX specifically and safety. A big part of that is listening and informing students. So there's a lot of misinformation around like what the Title IX process is, why certain things maybe cannot be confidential, and a lot of it isn't specifically Sac State policies. A lot of it is legally, we have to follow the legal policies of Title IX. So I know sometimes it can feel really frustrating for students when, you know, you have an image in your head of how you want your case to go through, and sometimes when that doesn't happen because of legal constraints or obstacles, it feels that, you know, the university has failed you. And I think that that's kind of our goal, is to make sure that we outline what is the process of, you know, a report going through Title IX, what are the steps for it, what is going to be, and being completely transparent, because that's the least that we could do as a university, is being completely transparent with students of, you know, what parts are going to be confidential, what parts is the other person going to have to know when they, you know, have a report against them, certain things like that, so that a student doesn't feel that they weren't told the full information from the beginning, and that maybe they wouldn't have gone through this process if they had known all the information in the beginning. And going through the Title IX process is a very difficult and emotional process sometimes for a lot of students. And so we want to make sure at the very least that they know before they They go through it, they're given the full information, they're given all of their options very clearly, and then that way, that way, we can help them the best way that we can on campus. But I do think that that's a big part of it is really informing them of like what we are able to do, what are like our constraints legally versus like maybe things on campus that are more constraints that we can work on and fix as a group. And so I think that's a big one, but I also know that Natalie is working on with President Wood on the campus safety task force. So that's a big thing that they've been working on as well. And so we have a lot of different groups here on campus that are trying to tackle the same issue of campus safety and kind of from different avenues. Like we're tackling it a little bit from the Title IX avenue and kind of working to fix that process, the whole Title IX process. And then, they're working on a more immediate campus safety that, to fix things right now. And we're kind of, I think, looking at it more long term. So, two different views, which I think is very important right now, because of course, campus safety is something that needs to be fixed right now and addressed right now because it is affecting students right now. But at the same time, I think there also needs to be more systemic long-term changes to our processes and policies of Title IX and campus safety. So we're trying to tackle those from two different perspectives. But our main goal is to make sure that at the very least that we're being transparent with students and that at the very least that we're listening to what students want us to do and communicating with them what is feasible, what isn't maybe necessarily feasible, and working with them to kind of, reach a place where students still feel safe and that we are able to fix what we can. So it's kind of a it's a long process, but I think there's a lot of different groups tackling it right now and taking it very seriously.
Yeah, and like you said, this system isn't going to be able to change overnight, and it's definitely from the ground up kind of process. And I know that ASI and Title IX system is being tackled from many different viewpoints, as you said. Like, within ASI, there is the, I believe, the sexual awareness committee that's headed, and the task force that Natalie is heading, and all that is working towards promoting a safer environment for all students. And like you said, like, it is just the beginning. It's just making sure that students feel heard and that they know that they are being, that there is somebody who's listening to them. But like you said, like, the Title IX process is very emotional. It's very taxing. So what are some of the resources that students can turn to when they're going through this?
Yeah, so I think one of the things that people might not utilize as much is Weave. So Weave is basically our like confidential advocates on campus, and they handle a lot of things that relate to Title IX that people might not feel as comfortable kind of, going through the whole investigation process, and their main job is to be completely confidential. So I think to me that's a resource that, sometimes trying to think how to word this. So something we've talked about a little bit with Title IX is that sometimes a lot of students also need a healing process. Like it isn't just about, getting going through an investigation, and sometimes it a big part of it too is the student needs to be able to heal and process what they've experienced. And I think sometimes that's a very important aspect that people don't pay too as much attention to. So that's where mental health counselors, even our primary care, urgent care at the Well, and we like all of these kind of healing resources where the student can kind of go and get kind of the help to process what they might have experienced, I think is very, unnoticed sometimes. And sometimes it feels like the only way to do it is to go and, start an investigation with Title IX and kind of, start a report and all of that. But I do think people do need to also think about the fact that they've also experienced something very traumatic and something that they do need to process. And I think that's where Weave really does help a lot. So we have two Weave confidential advocates right now on campus. And basically, if students contact them, they are, you can meet with them, you can talk with them, and you can basically, they'll help you through a healing process of kind of processing where what has happened to you, and it's fully confidential. So I think that that's something that a lot of students worry about when they experience something like this, of like, oh my gosh, am I gonna, you know, is it gonna be blasted? Am I gonna have to tell all of these people? Like, who's gonna know? I don't want anyone to know. And that shouldn't hinder your process of healing and processing. So I think that's where that eliminates that worry, and you're able to just focus on your healing process and recovery, and without the worry of it going to anyone, or, you know, of having to potentially have things be public between the person that might have done something to you. So I think that is one of the resources that is very underutilized. And I think as well, I think the, you know, obviously our mental health services on campus need to be improved. And that's something that we've been also trying to advocate for a very long time. So a lot of times students don't feel that they have the proper access to mental health, but students do get counseling, free counseling services on our campus as well. And I believe it's 10 sessions of free counseling services, if I'm not mistaken. And then the counselor will help refer them to somebody afterwards that they can continue their work with. But I think our main goal is to also work on expanding that in a way, and try to make sure that students have the proper access to mental health. Because again, I just want to emphasize, I think it's really important that that students have the access to the avenue of Title IX where they can do an official report, but they also have the access to healing and processing what has happened to them. So it's two different avenues and two different pathways that students have the choice to go down. And Natalie, I don't know if you want to add anything. We're talking about the resources, and so I brought up a little bit about Weave and a little bit about mental health and the Title IX avenue as well.
I think I'd just like to state the most important aspect moving forward with our new president when it comes to student resources. I know there has been a big fight of students having to advocate for themselves to get those resources, of students having to basically carry all the weight and begging their campus administrators to listen to them. And I want to say that I'm very confident in saying that that battle is not going to be as much of a battle now with our new president. Since day one that President Wood has been here, he has been very open and active in ensuring that reevaluating the resources we have now and what can we do better, more than what the Chancellor's Office is expecting, more than what students are expecting, more than what is already lived on our campus when it comes to resources. So I want to say that we're on the right path when it comes to reforming Title IX, when it comes to more mental health resources, as he is in the process of hiring 7 more counselors for mental health that will match the gap that we are facing right now. Where we have the Title IX implementation team that Veronica spoke on, where our basic needs center is coming and we're getting more funding for. So I'm very hopeful that, you know, we are limited in what we have now, but I'm hopeful that under this leadership with our board and with other student leaders who are very active on campus, that we're going to be able to see the resources that we deserve and that we need within the next couple of years.
Thank you both for, you know, informing me and all the students listening about those resources. The confidentiality resource, I did not know we had that, and I'm sure a lot of students aren't too aware of that. And it that's sad, because I feel like a lot of students should know about it, and if they have to, they should turn to it. So, you know, that kind of just ties back into, you know, the outreach initiative. Like, how do we let students know more about this? And I think for the students who are listening, who really, you know, feel the same way as I know that you guys do and many of us do, that what can we do? What more can we do for the students on campus? So to kind of shift gears a little bit, for students listening that want to get involved, that want to do more than just, you know, read about something and learn about something, mm-hmm. hear a presentation, how do students get involved? Like, what is the stepping stone? Like, Like if they want to, be ASI president or vice president, how do they begin their journey to get to a place where they feel like they are giving back to the campus?
I think the first step for that is self-recognition within oneself that you don't have to be this perfect person to be in these positions. I think that is a big misconception of running for student government or being a part of student government or being a part of these roles that you have to be perfect through and through, that you have to know everything and everyone. That is false. That is the most false narrative that can be written about people, of students who are involved. And I mean, Veronica and I first joined when we were freshmen, and we absolutely knew nothing or no one or anything about ASI. And I always say this to students, that it if you have the dedication, if you have the strength, the love and the want to do this work, then you can do it. You don't have to be this 4.0 student who has the most perfect life. We all come from different backgrounds, from non-affluent backgrounds. And I think, especially with the campus diversity that we have, it's so important that we have so many different students representing the different students that we have on our campus. And it's just about taking that first step. It's about fighting yourself, because it's challenging, it's intimidating, it's scary to start getting involved, to working with campus administration, with working in committees. It's scary, it's intimidating. You don't know what to expect. You don't know if they'll accept you, but you have to take that first step. It's kind of like pushing yourself into doing that, and then continuing that work, ensuring that they know that you're serious. Like, hey, I actually really want to keep doing this, and pushing and pushing and continue to be involved in it. And it's heavy when you have a lot of workload, and you probably work a job, and you have 5 to 6 classes. It's difficult to try and manage your school life, your personal life, and your advocacy life, because this is really a venue of advocacy. And I think it's just important for students to know that first, that it is okay to be who you are and still be involved. You don't have to be this perfect image that we all think student leaders are, or really anyone who's really involved. You bring your own unique background and experiences and make that into the student leader you want to be. And I think that's first. And then second is really committing that you are going to stay involved. You are going to join committees. You are going to keep up with them. You are going to fight your way in. And it really is a fight in. And it's sad to say that, but it feels like you have to fight your way in. And I want to say confidently that me and Veronica have to fight our way in. We have to fight our way in and stand your ground and continue working to the top. Because it's not just like, all right, I'm going to be president tomorrow, and that's it. It's really not as easy as it might sound. But as long as these students have the dedication and passion, I think that's really the biggest thing to do this. And anyone can really do both of our roles. It's just about being someone who has the willingness to want to do it, and know that it's going to be difficult. This position, our positions are really difficult, being a student on top of it. But if they have the strength within themselves to do these roles, that they can absolutely do it.
Yeah, and I do want to add everything that Natalie said is exactly how I believe too. I think both of us, we both served on the board last year, so kind of starting in other positions and working our way up. And we, like Natalie said, also served on committees since our freshman year. And so I think serving on committees is a very good, it's a very nice way to start, because you start to kind of learn a little bit about advocacy, a little bit about how ASI as an organization advocates specifically. And it helps you kind of create those connections that then help you if you are in a position to get things that you want to do done. And I think a big thing to that I do want to emphasize the same way that Natalie did is that, it's not only is it do we want you, or not only is it a is it okay for you to be yourself, and is it okay for you to not know every single thing? It's also, I think that makes you better at your job sometimes, better at being a director, better at being a board member, when you are able to recognize maybe this isn't an issue that I know everything about, and it isn't our job to know everything about everything, but rather to listen to students and to give students the ability to tell us what they need from us. And I think that's a big part of our job, is that we're elected by the students to represent the students, right? So we need to, go beyond just our personal experiences, just our personal, our personal lives that kind of allow us to have these point of views, but also speak to students, listen to students, and understand what they need from us to represent them. We can't do our jobs properly if we don't know what the student body needs from us, and if we don't know what the students need us to advocate for them. So I think that's a big part of it too, is just kind of taking a step back from us personally and from our roles personally, and allowing other students to come up and kind of tell us what they need from us, and listening to them. And I think committees also are really, really important. Like Natalie said, we have a lot of different types of committees, and specifically the university ones. A lot of times, it's hard to have the student perspective heard on like a larger university level. And so I think with the university committees, a couple of students sit on there. So if you sit on a university committee, you represent the entire student perspective, and just students in general on a committee, usually filled completely with faculty or admin. So it is really influential. And for most of these committees, the faculty or the admin do really value the student perspective, and it does help them do their jobs better. So I think in those cases, like, we do want to push for students to jump into these positions. Not only does it help you with like professional development and personal development, but it also really helps you make connections. It helps you advocate for certain things on a much larger scale. So for example, like, we have a lot of different committees ranging from like academic issues on campus, curriculum, campus safety, so a lot of different things. And so not only do we sit on committees as board members, but we appoint students to sit on them and represent their perspective and represent other student perspectives that maybe some of the board members wouldn't be able to fully represent. So I think that's a big part of it, is the committees allow other students at large that have other different experiences than us to, come forward and represent their views to the committee. So I think that's a really, really big part of it. And listening, again, I want to emphasize, is very important in the jobs that we do. And you're not going to know every single problem that every student experiences on campus. And even when I ran for a director position last year, I didn't know every single problem that my college was experiencing. And that's okay. It can seem intimidating sometimes, and it can feel, especially, the campaign process and all of that, sometimes it can feel like, it's too political, or it's not, something I'm interested in. But honestly, it is, a position that I think anybody could do, with any type of, background. And I think it's important that we have people from different backgrounds. It's important that we get the perspective of students that maybe weren't as involved in ASI, and we get the fresh outlooks, or we get the perspectives of students that came from lower income backgrounds, or from international students, or people of color, like a lot of different types of experiences. It helps us do our jobs better, and it helps us bring all of that to the board and make a more informed vote when we vote on certain issues that affect students.
I think definitely that the both of you point out that to be involved in student government isn't something that is limited to anybody. It's anybody who cares, and anybody who wants to be part of it should be part of it. I also want to know, for those listening, you do not have to be a political science major student. You do not have to be a criminal justice major student. If you are just a Sac State student who cares about the issues going on, as you both would agree that I would encourage you, and we all would encourage you to join a committee or anything that allows you to amplify your voices and to get your point across. Like, this is meant for everybody. It's meant for all students who go here to be able to get administration and faculty to listen, because at the end of the day, it is your education. So I think, as you both point out wonderfully, that it's not like you have to know everything, anything to join. I do have to credit Veronica for getting me into ASI, because I just happens next to her in a class one day, and she's like, "You should join ASI committee. Here you go." And so now I'm here, and I'm involved. So,
Oh, me
yeah. So I thank you for that. I don't think I would have had the courage to join, because I think many students do feel that intimidation. It can seem very political, but at the end of the day, like you said, it's about listening to students. It's about giving that perspective in. So yeah, thank you both for the work you do. I know it's a lot of work. It's taxing, it's draining, but you guys are doing amazing. I'm not biased at all, because I happen to know you guys. But I think, just to kind of wrap up on that final note, can you recommend anything, like what committees to join, what club to join, if students listening to this at the end of this do want to get involved, maybe next semester?
I would say that my personal opinion, the best place to start is ASI internal committees, because they're more friendly. And not that university committees are not friendly, but I think it's way more intimidating of being the only student in university committees, because typically university committees are just admin staff, faculty, and one or two students. So I always think ASI internal committees are more friendly, and we have 14 of them. They focus on different areas that range from environmental issues to social justice issues to academic issues. And these internal committees are just students. So it's a group of students who have the same interests in these topics and get to work with the other board members in their advocacy efforts regarding these issues, and they work together, and you really build a community there, because you're all there for the same reason, and you make friends. I know me and Veronica have made a bunch of friends just through like internal committees within itself, and just to get to know other people who are from different colleges, different majors, but you share the same interests. And I think, to me, that's not only just a great way to network and meet people, but to really see if it's something you're really interested in doing. I know me joining ASI internal committees really shaped the roles that I wanted to run for in ASI. Because this is after this last election was my third time running. I actually ran for a director position. And everything that I got from wanting to run in ASI came from ASI internal committees, because the board members chair those committees. So they always share about their experiences, how ASI is, and they're always saying you should run, you should run. So I definitely think it's a great place to start, and then build up from there. Start with some internal committees, and then once you kind of get the hang of it, jump into some university committees, or do both at the same time. It's really based off one's comfort level, but I do like to always note to students that university committees are majority faculty, staff, and administration, and depending in which one it is, sometimes it might just be admin, sometimes it might just be faculty. So there's levels of intimidation. Some of them you're even sitting in a room with President Woods, so that's even more intimidating. So it really depends on the comfort level of the student, but I always recommend ASI internal committees totally unbiasedly, but just because it is way more student friendly.
Yeah, I agree. So I overlook all of our ASI internal committees. And basically we have board members that chair each one of them. And so I think that's also a really good way, like Natalie said, that the students can connect with the board members and know more about being in a board position. But also having a board member that chairs them, I think creates a really good mix of, it's a safe environment, like fully with students, but also the board member has connections to kind of go beyond the committee and bring the student feedback to relevant connections that they may have. So for example, I chair our Student Social Justice and Equity Council, which is an internal ASI committee, and we're dealing with a lot of social justice issues on campus right now. So our main goal for this committee for this semester is to create a survey, because we realized as a committee that we can't decide for the students what they're experiencing related to social justice and equity. So instead, we're going to let the students tell us. So we're going to create a committee or create a survey and release it out to students and have it out for a while, and basically have it ne next year as like a deliverable to admin or to the relevant people that would deal with social justice and equity issues, and basically tell them these are what the issues are, because we got it directly from the students. They told us what what they're experiencing on campus. And that way, I can connect with certain people like the Division of Inclusive Excellence, which I have certain connections with through my position, and bring those connections to the committee and be able to kind of make a more direct connection between the committee members and beyond that, like admin or faculty. So I think that's what, that's the benefit of having the board members chair the internal committees is like, they can kind of be a warm handoff and create a closer connection between the admin and then between the students. And I do want to shout out some of our other committees. Like Natalie said, I think internal committees are a great place for students to start, and move their way up or stay. I've always been on internal committees since my freshman year, so I have done some university ones, but I always will try my best to at least be on a couple internal ones. So Lobby Corps is chaired by our Legislative Affairs Coordinator, Sidra. And it's an amazing committee. It's one of my favorites. I've been on it for a couple years now. And you basically get to focus on any issues that affect students at Sac State or CSU students in general. And you advocate for those issues in the legislature. And you work with CSSA, you work with ASI. It's a lot of, you get to basically lobby and advocate for issues on a much larger scale outside of just, here on our campus. And then I also chair our Student Marketing and Outreach Committee. And so right now we're focusing a lot on kind of marketing the board of directors and making sure students know what the board of directors do, because we were elected in these positions to represent students. And a lot of times they don't know half of the things that we do. And so it's important that we're transparent with them. It's important that they're able to hold us accountable and know what their student representatives are doing. So that's a big part of our focus for this semester, this year, is really to try to, outreach to students and kind of market what the board of directors are doing, and hopefully increase communication and transparency between the board of directors and the students. And we have a lot of other ones. We have a safety committee, wellness, safety, sexual assault awareness committee. And then we also have our student academic senate and city ambassadors and green team, which focuses on environmental issues. So a range of different committees for a bunch of different types of issues on campus. Everything that handles with student life or academics or anything that affects students on campus, there's a committee for it, whether it's university or internal. So it's a really good way for students to kind of get their foot in the door, to connect with board members, to connect with staff and faculty and admin. It's a really, really good connection, and we allow students to advocate for themselves and advocate for the rest of the students through these committees. So it's really a big avenue to uplift and empower the students to advocate for themselves.
Yeah, I want to echo what Natalie and Veronica are saying is that, there are options for you. And like, whether it is a full-time commitment or whether you are very limited on time, there is something for you to get involved. And I will echo that internal committees is a great stepping stone to something even higher if that is what your goal is. So, yeah, next spring semester, if any of you are wanting to get involved, you still can. So I would suggest and I encourage you all to take a look into it, read a little bit about it, see what interests you, what you want to do on campus with your time here, and get involved. It's never too late. You will always build connections, you will always learn. And with that, unfortunately, oh, and Veronica said you guys can go to them directly. Reach out to them. They are there for you. You can email them, social media, anything. They are always there. And I will say they are very, very nice people. So they will help you out. And with that, unfortunately, we are coming to an end of the episode. So Natalie, Veronica, I thank you guys both so much for taking time to come and talk to me and allow students to know a little more about our wonderful student government. So thank you for listening. We hope our ongoing conversations spark understandings, empathies, and motivation to join the struggle for a better future for all. You just listened to the Building Justice podcast. The information contained in the podcast represents the views and opinions of the host and guests and does not represent the views or opinions of Sacramento State or Chris J.
All the penalties and the rewards based on the actions. Now, time for Building Justice. Building Justice.